podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
Woo! All right. It's a weird thing, as I always say, true crime. It's compelling stuff, but it's also just so heartbreaking and weird that we consume it.
Mm.
And so I just want to always flag that. This documentary, The Murder of Rachel Nichol, is out on Netflix at the moment. And not only have they dropped a documentary on this story, but they've also dropped an adaptation of her story at the same time.
When was that? That happened not that long ago, maybe like a year ago or something. There was something else that they released, the doco and the real thing at the same
time. Did they do that with the O.J. Simpson trial as well?
There was plenty of stuff around O.J., but this was more of I can't remember what it was. Anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
It does happen.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And Netflix, obviously, you know, they're like, how can we, I'm assuming, really make money from this?
Mm.
And in that way, if you drop them at the same time, you know, people will most likely go from one to the other. I've just watched the documentary. Mm. I haven't watched the adaptation of it. The adaptation is called The Witness. So you may have seen that. It's in the top 10 at the moment. But the actual documentary is called The Murder of Rachel Nichol. And this is on the morning of July 15th, 1992. 24-year-old British mother Rachel and her 2-year-old son Alex were at their home, and they waved goodbye to Rachel's partner, who's Alex's father, Andre, and they always go for a walk in the, you know, bush area, a safe area, you know, a place where a lot of people go walking. But on this day, she was murdered violently in front of her son. And the documentary starts here with Andre trying to ask Alex what happened.
Oh, God.
And it just, as soon as I saw the first 2 minutes of this documentary, I was just bawling. Here's a bit of the trailer.
Alex, look at me. When you saw the bad man, was he in front of you like I am? Or was he on this side? Or was he on that side?
He was in front of
me. He was right in front of you?
Yeah.
Did mommy see him?
He was in front of me.
No. Did you see him first?
Yeah, I saw him.
Did he get out?
No.
He knocked you over?
Yeah.
My son witnessed his mother's murder, but nobody could have possibly known how long it was going to take to find the person who did this.
Like, full-on. Full-on stuff.
Shocking.
This documentary goes for an hour and a half, just over an hour and a half, and you know, it's very emotional. It's very confronting because they are speaking with the people it directly affected, as it normally does in a documentary. But the fact that this son, you know,
he was there.
It's just intense, and it involves the police trying to interview him and how his dad had to find out that his partner was murdered, but also be strong for his son and go through all of that.
Nightmare.
Just an absolute nightmare. And this one is particularly sad as well, because when you get to the end of it, you find out that the police may have been able to solve this one sooner.
Didn't.
So just what this family went through is horrible. Like I said, The Witness is what is the adaptation at the moment on Netflix, and that seems to be getting some good views. I haven't seen that yet. But the documentary itself, I'm going to give this one a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, right.
It's just compelling, and you just feel so much for this family. Closure rating, 5 out of 5.
Right, so you do know what happens.
You do know what happens, it is called The Murder of Rachel Nichol, and it's on Netflix now.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
Woo! It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
I got my rave on on Friday night. I made sure that I took my earbuds because I knew my ears were going to be blown out of my head, right?
Yeah.
Went to the Timber Yard up in Melbourne.
You can keep talking because this is a 20-second intro.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling the vibe. So Will Sparks was back, right?
Yeah.
And he was doing a classics night.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So for anyone that grew up in that kind of era,
yeah,
it was great. And I did expect to see a lot more older kind of people, my generation, but there were a lot of young'uns there, so great.
I think okay. Melbourne Bounce is having sort of another...
Oh, resurgence for sure. Because Orchestrator came out last year and they haven't played in forever.
Yeah.
And it went wild. It was a sellout at the Maya Music Bowl.
Yeah, true.
It was huge, right?
Hang on.
Yeah.
Always going to find me chasing ladies. Yeah. Some might like me and some might hate me.
This one's 20 cents, she's going to take me back to a house right now. Yeah. Look at my wrist.
Ah, yeah.
If you know, you know.
He does this one as well. So did he play all this stuff?
Yeah, so he was playing all that, all the classics. Lasers went off. I'd never been to the Timber Yard before, so yeah. I was like, oh, you know, they got an outdoor area, they got an indoor area, you can get food, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, but one of the things I was worried about before this gig was the incoming set times.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, God, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, like, because it's a Friday, and you know me on a Friday.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, everyone's dead to me, like, don't call me or whatever. It's a Friday and I'm done, right? And so my sister was going to come with me to this when we got tickets on the Matt PR, bless yous, thumbs up for the tickets. And then she's like, I can't be bothered. So then my brother-in-law was like, I'll come. I'm like, date night. Yes.
Nice.
All right.
Sister's husband.
Yes. So I was driving and I'm like, I'll just pick you up and we're driving and whatever. And I was like, oh, I wonder how late it's going to be. The set times were pre-acts were on from 6 to 8 and Will Sparks was on from 8.
Brilliant.
8 to 11. 8 on Love a Friday it. Night. I was like, oh,
this is the
how
best.
How good is this?
That's how all gigs should be.
Seriously.
The headliner on at 8 p.m.
Oh, my God.
We're done by 11 at the latest.
Can I just say,
well
like,
done.
So
Bravo.
Good. Because then you can kick on afterwards if you want. He played at Revs on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
That went off. Great. Right?
Yeah.
But for me, 8 o'clock start, yes, in bed, great.
Yeah, so is that? Do you think that is an age thing? Because, like, of the demo, I know you said there was some younger crew there, but sort of spot on demo.
Well,
would be.
I think that bands need to start recognising the demographics, right? So if you've got someone like a Harry Styles,
yeah,
okay, maybe you can push it a bit later. Maybe it can be a 9 o'clock start on a Friday or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm always going to be like, earlier start the better because I want to go home.
Same. Agree. Okay.
But some bands are absolutely ridiculous with the start times and I think we really need to start looking at the people who are coming to gigs and realising how tired they are.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me tell you, there's a band playing, it's not so bad. Okay, it's not so bad. So there's a band coming up this week, I believe, in Melbourne. Mm. What's the date on it? I don't want to say it's Wednesday night. Thursday night. So Thursday night in Melbourne at John Cain. They're called I Prevail, right? Staring at the stars.
It's a Tom style night out.
Very me coded.
Yeah.
This is a little glimpse at the difference between Log and I there, guys. that's the show, right? So anyway, I've said I'm not going because I'm going away this weekend and then I'm going to go to another gig next week and I can't bookend a weekend away with a gig midweek for each, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I Prevail. It says here for the Melbourne show, 7:20 for the opening band, 8:20 for the next band, and then they go on at 9:35. So you'd assume that they'll be done by sort of 10:45, right?
Yeah.
Which that's fine. But this is not the first show on their tour. And in fact, the previous show, I don't know what location it was. Metro City, Perth. Here we go. Perth.
Yeah.
Another reason it sucks to live in Perth. Invent Animate, first band, 8:30 p.m.
What?
Second band, Imminent. 9:30 p.m. Headline act, I Prevail, on stage at 10:45 p.m.
No, sorry, you're not Prince. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, like, I'll hang around for someone who's someone. No offence to I Prevail, but no.
That's a midnight finish. If that's in Melbourne, that's you and me. That's me getting home at just after 1 and that's you getting home at almost 2 a.m.
So that's not you. That's not you looking at Perth times and not converging the
no,
numbers.
No, that's not. Yeah. That's when they played Perth. They 10:45 p.m.
Okay, here's a tip. For anyone who will be throwing a gig soon, look at your demographic.
Yeah.
Realise how tired they are.
We're all getting older.
Act appropriately on start times, please.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
If I said to you there's one Australian state or territory that's running out of people and it's not Canberra.
Who's leaving? Well, if it was COVID times, I'd say Victoria. Because everyone was like, I'm leaving.
No, forget COVID. This is in the year up until sort of September 25. So as of 6 months ago, as of 9 months
ago. Who's leaving? Yeah, let's say, I'll guess Victoria. People are leaving Victoria.
No, it's Tasmania.
Oh, why?
Tasmania's running out of people. Lowest population growth of any state or territory, 0.3%. And the average is 1.55%.
See, okay. I'm surprised by that.
Why?
Because I thought, you know, with the way that the world's going, everyone's going to buy a piece of Tasmania and be like, when hits the fan, we'll go on Bruny Island. I mean, that's our plan.
Okay. Yeah, but you're going to have to use your heater if you move to Tasmania.
I know.
You're going to hate that.
I know.
There's one thing you will not do, it's pay the gas man. Absolutely not.
You know what? I'm trying. I've got my paper straws and the black balloons haunt me, mate.
Yeah.
Okay. I think about them every time.
Yeah.
So, unlike you.
That is a deep cut. That ad. Man, I've not thought about that for 20 years.
There you go.
State's natural population increase. So, the number of births.
Yeah.
Then you take away the number of deaths.
Yeah.
300 people last year.
That's a lie. That can't be real.
No, then.
No, I don't believe that.
There's not that many people in Tasmania, man.
Mate, 300 people. I know someone that had twins. That can't be.
So, yeah.
I'm telling you.
So, well, you might have still had 10,000 born, but you would have had 9,700 die. So there was only...
What?
So it's 300 people. Do you see?
Okay. Right. So you're saying...
Was it 300 births?
I thought you said 300 births. No, it's That's minus... That's all I heard.
There was the whole bit before that where I said
okay,
to you...
Okay, I didn't listen to
births
any of that.
Minus deaths.
Okay.
And so 300 new Tasmanians.
Okay.
And then 1,600 people moved interstate.
Yeah.
And then almost 3,000 people from overseas migration. They're coming for our job!
Maybe they're not counting the... Nah, I was going to make a Tassie joke.
Yeah,
no,
that's all I've got. Don't wait, just say, let's not rush it,
okay,
babe. We're only 2 minutes
into
the break.
I'm sure that you've got a really great one that you're going to make us wait
It's the country, the state is the country's oldest, median age of 42, and they're a bit worried.
Because Tassie so much.
Yeah, I know, but it's nice to visit.
No,
I mean, if you've been outside this morning, it's like that always in Tasmania.
Yeah, but, no, I love it. Dark mofo's on at the moment. It's weird. I'm into it.
So through COVID, apparently everyone moved to Tasmania and then everyone went, oh, God, it's just miserable here. Like once you've eaten and drunk everything you can eat and drink, like what else is there to do?
Well, you can see those bumblebees, those big fat bumblebees that get around like their own motorbikes. Like I go to Tassie just for them.
Yeah, well, they're talking about giving generous tax cuts just to get people to go to Tasmania.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so, you know.
So are you trying to tell me that you...
No, we're not taking the show to Tassie. We'll go for a visit. We'll go down south with our mouth. Oh, no, we'll go down for air. Come down for air. Go down south with your mouth is South Australia.
Whatever you want to do.
I would say...
I'm cool with your journey.
I would say that there is a real danger in... Tasmania's...
Here we go, guys. Get ready. Settle... No, wait.
No, don't.
No, everyone, hold on. This is where the magic happens. AJ's coming to see it.
I have forgotten
that
AJ is from Tasmania.
Yeah, here we go. Say
there
it to
is a
his
danger.
Face.
There is a danger in the further shallowing of Tasmania's gene pool, right?
Yeah.
Because as my understanding
here
is, it's quite
here
shallow.
It's happening.
No,
it's
I'm
happening.
Not doing it.
Because?
I'm worried about the head count that they're doing down there.
Oh, here we go.
Because how many bodies are attached
there
to
There it
many?
Is!
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
This is what it sounded like over in Vancouver yesterday.
Yeah.
against Turkey.
Mm.
And look, we're not soccer people, although I did used to play soccer and it is in my blood. But I don't know enough about it to talk on the matter.
You're saying that. You're saying all of that.
So I've got a mate that follows soccer religiously, wakes up early, travelled overseas to go and watch a whole bunch of games.
Oh,
and so he knows soccer.
Yeah.
So to explain it in layman's terms is my friend Phil. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, team. How are we?
We're good. How are you going? You tired? You've been watching a lot of games?
Yeah, lots of games. And I have to say that intro just got the juices flowing again. What a 24 hours for Australian fans. Like, I'm absolutely jumping out of my skin. Like,
yes.
Unbelievable.
All right. So now, Phil, yesterday I was trying to get you to explain. What does this mean, the Australian team taking out the Turkey team? What is it sort of on a ladder situation or a vibe situation?
In AFL terms, I believe I explained it to you as current day Essendon beating Geelong in a grand final.
Yeah, wow. Which was very hurtful.
Wow. Just really. Just
I know, it's a little harsh, a little harsh.
You really just gone for
but I needed you to understand.
Yes. Mm. No, we understand. We understand. And obviously, like, superstars coming out of this game and instantly becoming Australian household names. Is this just so exciting for you now that you can talk soccer with a whole bunch of random people and random mates like me and Tom?
This is the best part of it, you know? Like, everyone comes into work and they're all asking questions about these guys that have just started for the Socceroos. You've got guys like Nestor and Aaron Kunda, you know, like, just honestly, like the poster boy for the team at the moment. Like, he grew up in a refugee camp. He came over here as a kid, started playing in South Australia, and was one of the best juniors that the A-League's ever seen.
Mm.
Yeah, if you get 5 minutes today, go have a look at his YouTube clips. There's unbelievable goals while he was a baby playing in the A-League.
Yeah.
And now he's on the world stage scoring for the Socceroos. It's just, honestly, it's something you should put in a movie. It's out of this world.
It's no small deal for them to drop their captain either, but it turns out it was a good move.
Yes, it was a choice, Tom. It was a choice to drop your best player.
Yeah.
And it certainly backfired on them. And in the build-up, there was a bit of talk out of the Turkey camp that they weren't really taking this game as seriously as I think they should have.
Yeah.
And that proved to be a really poor choice because the Socceroos just outworked them. They had all the heart. It was just as if they thought they could rock up and just take the 3 points, but it wasn't going to happen that way.
Turkey are a great footballing nation, and it's obviously the main sport over there. But what about the other countries in our group? Because we're sort of the minnows, aren't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the way it was perceived prior to the tournament, certainly by most football pundits. But the USA have a very strong team. They showed that in the first game. And look, Paraguay probably at the moment looking like the team that's, that might finish last. But there's no way that the Socceroos are going to have that mindset because we just showed 24 hours ago that it doesn't matter how much people rate you, you got to go out there and do it. So, we'll be very keen to take a point off the US. I think that would probably be just about enough to get us through, but there's a lot of hard work ahead.
What's your favourite country in the World Cup? Because you are a man of many countries and you follow players, you follow soccer. And from what I understand, Phil, so many soccer players do not play in the country, are not from the country that they play in, and they all move about and everything. So who are we kind of keeping our eye on in this World Cup?
Look, in terms of just an underdog story, I'd love to see Scotland sort of make it through, if not just for the fans. I think the team, you know, there's a lot of underdogs in there, a lot of hard-working players. That'd be nice. But, I think it's pretty open this year. I think the sort of the usuals, some people might think Brazil were going to have a good World Cup, but they seem to have an ageing squad. I'd really like to see, even they're playing this morning, I've actually stepped away from the TV, but I'd love to see Japan do well.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of favourites, you probably can't go past teams like Spain or even someone like France. Just to give a boring answer there, I suppose.
I've got Bosnia in the work sweep. Yeah. Chances for me?
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. You're up against it.
Okay.
Stranger things have happened. Again, as a Socceroos fan, I can't rule it out completely because, you know, you got to dare to dream. But, I wouldn't be counting that money just yet.
All right, Phil, before we let you go, thank you for breaking it down for us. We are looking forward to the next game against the States. Now, I've played a lot of FIFA, but it's been a while since I played FIFA on Xbox. Is Landon Donovan still running around for the USA?
Unfortunately, no. But, they definitely got a few players who can step up and do what he used to do. But
I feel like he played for like 30 years.
Yeah, he did. It didn't help that he was bald by the age of 20.
Hey,
so
man, you did the Essendon gear and the bald gear. Come on.
Yes. That's how Phil rolls, mate. He just says it how it is.
I'm lying here grabbing my shin like he slid in like a tackle. All right, mate.
He's the Shaq of the soccer world. I've always called him that. My mate Phil, thank you so much for joining us and giving us all the World Cup action.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Rob.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Now, Jono, you had something before we do Best and Fairest and talk Cats.
Oh, yes. Quickly. After the game, I got to leave pretty much straight away when the Cats played on the weekend against Gold Coast and Friday night. And I'm driving home. I've only got a 5-minute drive. And I've turned the radio on. Maxie Holmes is getting interviewed. I'm like, yay!
K-Rock
great football, job. Sorry. You can just see the growth in Max. I love it. And you guys are just perfectly grooming him on a Tuesday morning. And you can just see the confidence.
Yeah.
But there was one thing that just brought my attention and gave me a little chuckle on the way home. Can we have a listen, Tommy?
I've got the audio here. Yep. Yeah.
What do you bring to the table, Max? Do you do sort of a lot of preparation? You just turn up and ad lib?
I've been at living, but I might have to brainstorm this week about I'll bring something to the table maybe on Tuesday.
You might have a suggestion box we could send some stuff through.
Yeah, there's a couple of questions that have been asked, and I've been stitched up a couple of times. I don't think Loggy understands insults sometimes. asked if I sleep with the lights on still, which was
really Loggy.
Did he just walk out?
Nasty. Yeah, Loggy had went straight over her head.
All right, we might raise that next time I'm on.
Hang on.
Don't worry, Kingy. I've raised it now, mate.
Okay, so I asked him, do you sleep with the lights on?
Because that was someone sent that through as
did
a question.
They?
Yeah,
or was it a thing about whiteout or something?
No, it was a listener question that you then passed on to
what
him.
What have I missed? Is that offensive?
I didn't clock it either.
In footy, if you're asking someone, do you sleep with the lights on, that's a huge insult. Huge insult.
Why?
Because
can
you're
you
basically
say it?
Saying that they're scared. That they're scared on the field.
I missed that completely.
You know, that they've got zero courage. So you've got Maxim here and you're telling him that he's got zero courage. So I'm glad he's just bit back a little bit on you. And now it just a little bit of tension in the air, but I know you're good enough to just smooth that out, Loggy.
Well, how about this?
Loggy doesn't understand insult.
Insult! The best.
Yeah, oh no, that's offensive, is what I'll say.
Well,
like,
it's one
me.
Back, it's one each, it's 15 all.
It's deuce, is what it is.
Let's do this.
Best.
Best and fairest.
Best and fairest. Best.
Yes, the best and fairest. Thanks to your Zena Sports Vest. Get it at all good purveyor of vests, including Label Sports.
Well, we've done enough pumping up of things this morning, haven't we? But yes, if you feel like protecting yourself, jump in a Zena Sport Vest. So one vote goes to Ollie Dempsey. This young man is just a star. I love going to watch him play his footy. And he played another excellent game of footy on the wing for the Catters. Lawson Humphreys gets two. He was a class. He back into the side and had an absolute blinder. I thought he was once again just an excellent distributor of the ball left and right and set the Cats up many, many times. And Bailey Smith gets the three this week. So back to his very best footy. And he's just chipping away, Bailey Smith, when it comes to the votes. It's ones and twos, and now he gets the three.
Yeah.
And it's enough to make him equal leader with Ollie Dempsey as we go along.
Okay. Well, we'll see if he got his medal presented to him and took it by
Shawnee Manor. We need Shawnee Manor to keep going. He's had a couple of quieter week, still playing okay, but quieter weeks on what saw him jump up the leaderboard, and Maxi Holmes is sitting there as well.
All right.
But I don't know whether he can claim it now that he actually works here. Like,
oh, really?
Well,
no, he can.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. As long as you clear that up, I'm happy to continue to give him votes. Okay.
It's, just quickly before you go, important for the Cats to right the ship after a couple of real close losses that might come back to haunt them.
Yeah, it is. The next couple of weeks are huge. They are massive for the Cats. They play Freo at Optus, and then they bring the Brisbane Lions here to GMHBA. So the next 2 weeks, massive games of footy. The build-up will be absolutely huge, and they'll be looking for two Ws, but it's a big challenge ahead.
Yeah.
Brad Johnson, always a pleasure. Prestige Jayco Geelong are your local Jayco dealer. Open 7 days. Tony, Deb and the team help us bring you to the people each and every Monday morning. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Sure will.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
Once stunk out your car because, look, you have, I'm sorry to tell you this, your car kind of stinks. It's all right. It's just, it is what it is. But apparently you made it smell worse on the week. Don't give me that chin. I can see the chin. It's all right. My car smells like dog. I'm fine with that. You should be fine that your car reeks normally. But now it stinks even worse. What happened?
As someone who's hypersensitive to odour being described as stinky or whatever, it's very interesting that you're throwing stones.
Well, it's just, have I ever said anything when I've been in your car?
No.
Exactly. So I'm saying it now. And now I regret saying it.
Okay. Also, can I get more people to call 52232955 if you have ever been in my car and you've thought it stunk and haven't told me? Because
okay, that's a sidebar, mate, because what you've done, you've actually dropped a coffee
on your
driver's seat.
Yeah, after swimming lessons yesterday morning at Norlane Arc there, or I made my way back out into the car park and just, I must have just held the cup. It was a paper, you know, takeaway cup, just a bit too tight, or
you're
the lid wasn't sitting properly.
Mate,
it's the guns.
It's the hands.
Oh,
you're not used to the strength.
Very strong wrists.
Right.
And I squeezed it. And
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Just
your wrist strength is...
It just went blah, 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 all over the driver's seat. So then, and I was half toweled and in wet boardies anyway, so I just put the towel on and sorted that out at once I got home. But yes, the car did for the rest of the day smell. Mm-hmm. And then I was supposed to be going out and giving someone a lift. They don't drink coffee, so I knew like... immediately the smell would be bad, but worse for them.
Yeah.
And then there's also the extra wrinkle of you not being able to put down any windows in my car because they don't go back up again except my driver's side window, right?
Yeah, so And the milk went bad. It's a bad smell. What stunk out your car, we're asking, on 52232955. Tiffany from Indented Heads, good morning. What stunk out your car?
Good morning. So my son worked in fish and chips and he would have to regularly gut the flake.
Oh.
And I can still remember the smell. It's still in my car. He got in the car and all I could smell was dead fish.
Yeah.
That's a smell to remember. It still fits my car.
No.
Nothing gets the smell out.
Oh, my gosh. You need to trade that in. You need to offload that vehicle and don't put that in the sort of the notes.
Not on a hot day.
Yeah.
Winter is the time. Yeah. So now is the time to do that
one. Oh, that's rank. All right, let's go to David in Newtown. David, good morning. What stunk out your car, mate?
Wasn't my car, but it was my housemate's at the time. And we thought it was his cricket gear in the boot because that was always a bit pongy.
Yeah.
But we ended up having to drive around with the windows down, as you said, but we found a broccoli head in a plastic bag under the seat, and it'd been there that long, it just turned into like green sludge.
Yeah, liquefied.
Really bad.
And that's just fallen out of the shopping, obviously.
Yep, falling out of the shopping and under the seat.
So cooked broccoli, when you're cooking it, smells...
No, raw broccoli.
Yeah, I know, but like the cooked one smells like fart, so I can only imagine that one smelt like shivers.
Yeah.
We better move on.
All right.
To Heather from Newtown. Heather, what stunk up your car?
I did the shopping and a whole thing of butter had fallen out onto the back seat.
Oh.
And then it was a really hot day and it melted all through down the slit in the back seat, all through the vinyl stitching.
No.
The whole thing of butter.
What do you do with that?
Did not come out. The seats had to come out and get it clean and it even then, that only took out half the smell. That car did not last much longer.
No.
It was disgusting.
And a slip hazard? Like, it's just terrible.
No, well, I didn't know because this butter had melted and I found the wrapper and went, oh, that's weird. And then over the next couple of days, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
That's brutal.
Maybe you need to put some cooked bacon in the back there. Just let that kind of mallow in.
Percolation.
And then it's like smells a bit nicer than just the butter, you know? Like. Nice.
Also lovely for Heather from Newtown knowing she's got three other cars to choose from as well.
Drive by.
Mason in Lara, wrap this up for us, mate. What stunk your car out?
So mine was a exploded iced coffee.
Oh. How old was the iced coffee?
Yeah. So I went shopping and took the groceries in. It must have rolled under the seat. Yeah. And then when we parked the car, it rolled back out. Went inside to my partner's family's house, had a swim in the pool because it was the middle of summer. It was a 45-degree day. When we came back to the car, it was everywhere. It looked like someone had smeared poo everywhere on the windows, on the roof. We had to borrow their car to go home, and I took that car and I just scrapped it. It was that bad.
No.
We could not fix it.
Do you know what? Some good tips for exes or people you want to pay back. Oh. Hide a nice coffee under their chair and let's see what happens.
40-degree day.
Tom and Loggy. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.